Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Rehab Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to discuss episode 2 of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. We only got to see half the queens, but don't worry, we have a full panel here for you today. First, I'd love to welcome in a man who has a brand new beautiful setup. If you're looking at our YouTube video on Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am good. You know, I mean, Drag Race, it was new year, new season. So I was like, you know what? I'm feeling it. So let me just give my little setup a bit of a facelift. So here I am.
You love to see it. You love to see it. And the panel would not be complete, of course, without Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm feeling good. I'm wondering which one of you two is a spy, but just... My favorite tweet about that afterwards was Candy Muse being like, what would she be a spy for? Like, what were we all thinking? So I don't know. Good times. Good times.
Okay. But like, here's the thing though. I remember Brent and I were convinced that Bibi Zahara-Benet on All Stars was a mole or a spy of like some sort.
Completely. I thought for sure she was a secret judge.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way. I mean, that's such an insult and I kind of feel bad now in retrospect, but it seems so much more fun to consider her to be some type of mole character.
Well, how can she get some of those wins and not be a mole?
That. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, we are not here to discuss All Stars 3. We are here to talk about season 13. So we got to talk about the fact that we're only seeing half the queens. So Amon, do you think that this is something that is a... Well, first of all, do you like it? Do you not like it? And do you think it's a byproduct of COVID? Because I have my suspicions that that might be the case, but I'm not sure.
So I like the fact that they are doing something similar to last season where they want to give all the queens more screen time. They want the audience to build a bigger relationship with them before they send them home. I'm all about that, especially because it helps the queens in the long run. But that was clear what they were doing the last time. This time, they're wrapping it up in this very strange twist that is making us believe that one of them or half of them are supposed to go home. The queens themselves that won the lip sync are thinking that the other queens are going to go home and that they're not going to participate in the competition. And it just comes off very confusing to me because ultimately we see at the end of this episode that nobody goes home. And I have to imagine that it's probably going to happen again in the next episode. So why go through all of this, like all of these gymnastics, if the whole point is to have them just be on the show in separate groups so that we can easily digest them as personalities, then why not just be clean about that? Why does it have to be this very, like, why make a pork chop lounge? Like, why did Pork Chop have to get drug into this? Like, we know she was the first ever eliminated queen. Like, I'm sure she doesn't need any reminding.
Oh my gosh. But don't also forget, like, Shangela and Vanjie. Right.
Can we talk about that for a second? What poor timing to be like, let's talk about some of the people who have really made great heights in this industry, but were voted out first. Shangela and Vanjie. And I was like, oh, maybe not the week to talk about them when they're being canceled for partying in Puerto Vallarta.
And then that was so, you know, like, just shame on them, sidebar. And the fact that Silky was also in that video, she tried to hide her face. Like, everybody knows who you are, Silky. Like, yes, you're not fooling anybody.
You can't fool anyone. You look the same. Come on.
Well, and I mean, speaking of off-screen drama, like, Trinity is also under fire for performing at places that aren't adhering to COVID guidelines. And poor sweet little Pheromone is like trying to be the little vigilante we know she can be, being like, guys, I have to tell you the truth. And she's under fire because those queens are now coming after her. It's been a very busy, busy off-season, even though it's the on-season when it comes to off-screen drama.
And this is why I love, like, Pheromone has been very vocal. And Jeremy, formerly known as Fifi O'Hara, has been very, very vocal as well. And Jeremy's just like, I'm not a part of this community anymore. I fully left it. But y'all are making horrible mistakes, especially, let's talk about the fact quickly that Shangela's fully selling hand sanitizer and profiting off of the pandemic and then doing this. Like, come on. Like, let's make some smart choices. But regardless, like, I guess I can't. You got to make money somehow in a pandemic. You're probably not making it the way that you're used to. So I can understand to that degree. But come on, people, it's just like, wear a mask, be smart, keep distancing.
Then how,
like,
can you afford to travel? Stay home. Anyway.
Also, to a country that also is like at 100% capacity in their hospitals and like can't afford to have you there. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a mess. It really is a mess. Like, All Stars 4 has been all over the timeline this entire week, and I'm like, damn. Like, can y'all let the new girl shine? Like, we know that you're not. You know, it's a pandemic. We're in a panoramic right now. We get it, but like, let the season 13 girls like have a little moment. Like, damn.
Yeah, let's talk about the pandemic that is whatever the choices are that the producers have put in for these first few episodes, because it's ridiculous. Like, why do this unnecessary, cruel, like, rigmarole with these queens? Why not just say, no one's going to go home this first episode, but we want to see where your lip sync and chops are. Okay, great. You want to add some drama into that mix? You tell the girls, don't vote for who you want to go home. Vote for who you think the biggest competition is. Tell me that's not going to bring drama out.
A novel idea.
Because you already started to see that.
Well, and exactly, it doesn't have to be overt. You just kind of like slip it in a confessional about like, well, have you considered voting out the person you consider to be your biggest threat, or give them deliberation time, or like it. So, I mean, look, ultimately, I'm happy that no one was eliminated because of a vote out, right? It's a competition reality show that's based on your drag skills. It shouldn't be based on voting. Okay, right. Good. Happy. I'm over that. If you're going to do that, then yeah, make a meal out of it. Like, throw some wrenches in there. Throw those marbles on the floor. Make the queens fight a little bit more. Because it felt very ho-hum. It was just like, okay, Joey voted for Elliot because she doesn't see the wow factor. Denali voted for Joey because chicken feathers. Avi. And then it was like over. We didn't see the other queens. There was a tie, obviously, you know, and then like, okay, I don't know. I'm happy that they're willing to take chances to step outside the box, even if it is potentially due to COVID, even though I'm not sure. There's just something a little bit off here.
A friend of mine on Twitter said this, and they mentioned COVID as well. They tweeted, this season of Drag Race is so confusing. They were like, okay, Miss COVID, how do we do this season without the full cast being in one scene together? And then they went on to say, two episodes and what the hell is actually going on? What if they played the first half of Drag Race 13 like Survivor and had two tribes? That could have actually been interesting and would have made us all this make a lot more sense. I don't know how I feel about making your audience wait damn near a month to understand a twist. And that's exactly how I feel too, because we've already had the pilot or the premiere. We've had this episode. I'm assuming no one's going to go home in week three, which means that week four is going to be the first time that someone actually goes home. And it might be a double elimination just to, you know, catch up with the schedule. It's just weird. It's just very weird.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Like, I also don't understand why you would then have all this drama with the losing queens and the pork chop loading dock and then start off the episode with them and then just never show them again. Like storytelling wise, I would want to see their episode first, not over the winners. Like, you, mm-hmm. let's see what the fallout is.
Yep.
You just voted people out. I want to see what you're saying, you know, about each other, why you voted for so-and-so, why you didn't. Why do I have to wait another episode to get that storyline when the winners really don't have a storyline other than they beat people in a lip-sync?
They won.
And it
we
would be,
won.
We won. It's great. And then think about the fact that they're literally like, why weren't we filming for a couple days? Like, that would be so interesting to see that. And on top of that, then Elliot comes in. Now the audience has been in suspense about Elliot for a long time. Instead, it's like, one of you must be voted out. And then instantaneously in the next scene, here she is. Like, that doesn't do anything for, like, storytelling purposes. So I would have switched these two episodes, this one and next week's around.
I really like that idea. I could see myself, though, coming in and being like, Elliot got voted, you know, or like being in suspense with that. So maybe you just tease it at the end, right? So you do the whole episode and then at the very end, Elliot goes, I'm back, right? In the preview for next week or something like that. So then that way, I don't know, like that would make me feel a little bit better. But I agree with you. I think that, that's potentially more interesting to do. I think the biggest open question for me is, do we think that these groups will ever get merged? Is it going to be like Survivor, like the merge? Or do we think after these three non-elimination episodes, are we going to have the queens come together? I don't know. It's just so weird to me that they couldn't all be in the same place if they're all quarantining together.
If they're all quarantining together, and then I don't necessarily know how is it. I mean, sure. Okay, so maybe it's an LA guideline thing. Maybe they're just not allowed to have all these people. But that wouldn't make any sense because you see all these reality TV shows with like mega casts. Like, didn't The Bachelor film during this? Like, they have a whole chateau of girls.
Where are they though? Are they in LA?
They're Pennsylvania, north of LA. So they could be. It's actually like quite close, like a little like maybe an hour away from Philly, actually. So maybe it's a little different over here, but
that's what I'm wondering too. Well, I mean, you had Big Brother. I mean, they're physically living in the same space, so they wouldn't be bussed back and forth. Like, you have to think about those kind of things. And then in addition to that, how many crew members are on set? Like, there's a little difference there versus with Big Brother.
But if they're still living together, just how much more sense does it make? Like, and are they just wiping down everything? Like, do you just, like, deep frying the workroom every day? Just to disinfect
everything?
Well,
that's what everything? I wondered. How did these winners not think that there's, like, they are the only ones there?
Oh, and there's stuff. Like, is there stuff? But is there stuff also there? Did they like film all of the first half and then like, but they're going to intersperse the episodes? Like, they're going to film the second half? I don't know. Look.
They have to merge. They have to merge. It just wouldn't economically and physically, it just does not make sense to merge. It feels like so much more of a hassle to film if they don't merge. And I would be kind of like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if I get on Drag Race in the middle of a pandemic, I'm going to be like, yes, finally. But at the same time, I'd be like, damn, I didn't get to like have the full cast experience. Like, I'm getting eliminated. Like, cause the competition fundamentally shifts if they're in two different groups, because then you're just getting compared to five other queens. Whereas you might have a little bit more of a chance to get along if you're being compared to, you know, 11 other queens. So it's just, it's strange. It's very strange. But I mean, we're getting a season, like Liana said last season, or our last episode, we're getting a season. We should be thankful for that. So.
And that's what I keep trying to tell myself too, is like, you know what, Liana, just throw out everything you know about Drag Race format and just live in the moment, like enjoy it. Okay.
Exactly.
Sure. We can nitpick all these things. And we do, and we did, but like at the end of the day, like, let's just try to remember, and we will
RuPaul
in the future.
Is like sitting on his porch watching the people frack. Like, did you guys enjoy the show? Did you enjoy the show? That's all that matters then.
Right. That's what I'm trying to remind myself. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, let's dive into this episode. So, you know, we already talked a little bit about the voting, but I mean, Beth, is there anything else that you want to talk about when it comes to the Porkchop Lounge Queens votes?
No, I think that honestly, if you had to judge people based off of their looks and that's really it, I think that they probably brought it down to the final two that made sense. I don't think I would have personally voted for Utica Queen, because I do think that the clashing pattern, she made that work, but I can understand why some people wouldn't. I do have an issue with people being like, why did you use cheap feathers? Because not everybody has access to a budget. And we've seen some queens come in, like Chi Chi Devane, who can just make things work. Like, she came in with literally a trash bag dress and like duct tape bracelets, and it still looked really cool in couture. I just don't see that being a reason to kick somebody off, like, because they're not wearing something expensive. But that's...
Yeah, that's, I mean, it felt like she used it as a measure. Denali, who voted for Joey, used it as a measure to say, like, oh, you may not be at this level.
Right.
You know, we also don't know necessarily what types of conversations they were having with one another, if there could have been something else. You know, I don't really know.
I was kind of shocked that Denali did go for Joey J, because I would have figured the two of them were in the Pork Chop Lounge the longest, that they would have been like, okay, well, if so, I'm open to alliances, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's why. Denali was like, I'm so annoyed with you, I had to sit with you the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was it for me.
So, you know, ultimately we have a tie between Elliot and Utica. Would have loved to have seen the vote break down. But we probably, honestly, it probably was a 2-2 is my guess. 2-2-1-1-1-1. Or it was a 3-3-1. Anyway, whatever. The nerd in me is like, what was the vote breakdown? Where's the confession, the voting confession?
The breakdown.
Yeah.
I need to bring you to Vegas to be like, all right, we're going to hit it. Okay, what's the blackjack? We're gonna count some cards here.
I mean,
and then we're not. Hopefully, just that. Don't get cut out.
Yeah. We'll cut this part out of the podcast. Okay, yeah, so Elliot ultimately gets the pork chop, and we have a brief cut to the winning queens in the workroom, where we get, you know, a few little nuggets of foreshadowing. We get to hear about Candy being known for starting drama, and then immediately Elliot joins the winning group. So, you know, that cliffhanger, I don't know if it made it over a commercial break, because I watch without commercials, but like, that was it.
She did it.
She's back. I didn't?
No.
Okay.
Candy Muse's face, though, when she walked in there and they're all like doing the obligatory, oh my God. But like, Candy's face is devoid of emotion. She's like, oh my God.
She cannot hide her emotions. She cannot hide anything. She wears it on her sleeve.
And honestly, Tina Burner was not happy either. Like, she sat there, she's like, I sent you home. And it didn't come across as like joking. Like, it came across as like, girl, I sent you home. Why are you still here? Bye.
And I was going back and forth this episode, because I was like, do they honestly believe that they sent all those girls home and the competition is just going to be amongst the six of them? Because why? Like, what kind of RuPaul's Drag Race season would that be? But it seemed either they're really good actors or the producers did a number on them and made them really feel like those girls were going home, because Candy Muse looked legitimately upset. She thought that this was going to be the final six. Tina Burner's talking shit as well. I'm like, y'all really thought that they were going to let y'all just slide to the final six at the, like, with one lip sync? Like,
it was no challenges, no runways, no nothing. You had 1 3-minute interview with each of the judges and then a 3-minute lip sync. And you thought, OK, now your final six material, you need to like maybe pack in some of that ego and think about that a little bit more.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Maybe they thought it was like a double elimination bracket. Like, we already sent those queens over there. Like, only what? Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. We don't know what the producers told them. There's all these little clues for us. Like, for example, during the lip sync, she said, Rue said you get the pork chop, not Chante, you stay, sashay away. Right. So there's all of these little things that indicate that there's a twist, which obviously also logic of we're not going to bring out 13 queens and automatically send more than half of them home.
And the other thing that RuPaul said was each of you will have the chance to come back into the competition. But before you do that, you have to vote one of you away. She didn't say like you're gonna eliminate one of them. She said you have to vote for one of the queens to like say goodbye to. Mm-hmm. Which, and if every single person has the chance to enter the competition, you have to imagine that if you're getting voted out, you still have that chance. It just, you might have to go to the winners group. Like, that's what I got thinking as soon as I started doing the voting. I really thought about that. I was like, wait, she didn't say one of you will be leaving the competition. She said vote for one person. And the point of that, of course, is just to create some drama. So when the queens do come together, if Elliot's still there, whatever, she can be like, I'm with my new family now, and they're right. The winners. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. I just feel like what they're trying to do is manufacture drama in ways that just don't feel like what we're used to in Drag Race. And it's stale. Exactly. Like, these are drag queens. They know how to bring drama. Don't try to force it. These aren't people who, like, need some prodding. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Especially Candy v. Elliot, which we get a lot of throughout this whole thing. I mean, it was on pretty much all the girls versus Elliot. But so a little bit different structure of how we're going to go through the show, because there were essentially a total of three runways. We had the two runways for the mini challenge, and then we had the LeMay You Stay runway. So what we're going to do is I think it makes more sense to just go over all of them together. So essentially the way the judges did it in this episode. So we'll kind of go girl by girl. But before we get to all of those things, we can kind of hit on some of the other notes that we got to see throughout this episode. And that includes the Candy versus Elliot drama. The whole Candy thinks Elliot is a spy. Tina Burner is going to stay next to Elliot because you got to keep, you know, your friends close, your enemies closer. I'm curious to see where this goes, Amon, because I feel like, yes, it's going to be part of this episode, but I don't know. Candy really does feel like someone who will hang on to these types of drama, thinks Elliot as well. So this may be a continuing storyline throughout the season.
Yeah, they are convinced that the judges, I mean, because we get to see it a little bit in the Untucked, that they're coming on to the fact that, okay, they're probably going to come back in some way, form, or fashion. And so they're convinced that the judges probably split these two groups up and as a means to put them at odds with one another. And now that Elliot is back in the room, she's probably there as a spy for the other group, and they're going to have to do like this major Hunger Games drag battle royale or some shit. Like, maybe they're supposed to all lip sync against each other. Maybe it's a 13 way lip sync and they just build more runway and they all get up on there and one side go, like, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're thinking that they're just in for it. Okay. And yeah, other queens have latched on to this theory as well. They're just so paranoid. I mean, it's fine. We're living in a pandemic. I get it. The paranoia is at an all-time high. So.
I just had, as soon as you said drag queen Hunger Games, all I could think about is like the cornucopia, but it's just full of makeup and drag items. Like, it has no weapons. It's just like, here you go. Here's some fabric. Here's some makeup. Go for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wigs. It's breastplates, shoes. Like, it's everything you need. And then you have to fight each other for the supplies, right? And then, yeah, I love
and
it. You love
the whole season is just lip syncing people to death. Ugh, get out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. So for in terms of sort of the other things that happened, you know, we get a little bit of them learning the choreography. So the mini challenge this week was the two runway looks, which we've seen before, I think for the first time, maybe in season 7. And then for the main challenge, we get the Congratulations remix, of course, Rue song, gotta plug, gotta do the verse. And they also have to do the choreo, which I believe is the same as what they did last season. Did they have to do the choreo themselves, or did they have like a Jamal Sims that came in?
You guys, I thought remember? They did the choreo themselves.
I think they did the choreo.
I don't remember,
as well.
But probably, yeah, probably by themselves.
Right. Right.
I'm willing to be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure they did the choreo themselves.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. And I kind of like this because it tests. Oh, and Beth, I think you talked about this last week. That group choreo lip sync skill that is more similar to what queens may do on the outside of RuPaul's Drag Race than, you know, the acting challenges or, you know, branding challenges, potentially things like that. Mm-hmm. So I really like this as the first challenge. I'm okay with it staying if they want to kind of keep this format, which now we've had two seasons in a row. So I'm kind of fine with this for now. To me, it hasn't quite got stale yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, I like doing a big challenge like this, too, in the very beginning, because we always traditionally have saved these challenges to the end. And while it's important to do that, I also think that giving the queens the opportunity, it's like, OK, teach each other something. That's great. When you get to the end, it's like, now we're going to bring in Jamal Sims, Taja Call, whoever, and we're really going to kick your ass when it comes to choreo and see where, you know, where your strengths are. But I really like having this in the beginning because it puts the queens right into competition shape. Sometimes, like the design challenges, like if it's just not your forte, they're starting off on like a wrong foot, but this is something that most queens should have something up their sleeve for.
You guys are right. They did do it by themselves the last season too, because now I just got that image of Widow Von Du doing this. Yes. And they all had an issue.
Oh my god. Again, perfect reason to check out the video version of the podcast to watch a Mondo do a Van Du move. Von Du move. Beautiful. Beautiful. And okay, the last thing I do want to touch on before we get into all of the critiques, all of the runways, all of the looks, all of the performances, is the story that we get to see with Gottmik, because I think this is really touching. I think the way that the show handled Gottmik's verse and then her mirror moment with Olivia didn't feel forced in ways that other mirror moments have felt on the show, Beth, because naturally this was gonna be a topic of conversation, but I thought that the way that they handled it really was well done.
Yeah, I think this is a prime example, right? These are people that you don't need to prod them to bring up things that are going to be important to air on television, that are going to be dramatic in some capacity. Gottmik has a unique story to Drag Race, but not so unique story within the drag world, which is a feeling of body dysmorphia, specifically because of his trans identity. But there's this idea out there, specifically for those that only watch Drag Race, that drag is really only for cis males dressing up as women, for example. And so Gottmik is, for this show's purposes, showing differently. Now, we've seen other trans contestants in the past, trans women come on. But what I liked the most about this was that it didn't feel like a, hey, Olivia, prod Gottmik on what's happening on the stage. It was something that everybody noticed. Everybody just said, we're going to let Gottmik kind of bring it up when she wants. And she did, you know. And I think that that's exactly what other shows need to take note on. You don't need to make somebody's identity a storyline unless they make it a storyline, unless there's something that's happening that makes sense for their person. Otherwise, it just comes off as sleazy. And so I agree with you. I think they handled this well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Amon.
It made me sort of like have like a different understanding of different trans experiences, because we get to see during the challenge where the lyrics come on, and I guess he wasn't expecting the lyrics to be he wasn't expecting to have such a visceral reaction to them, because I was under the impression that a lot of people already knew who Gottmik was, right? And that he is a trans man. And so at first I was like, huh, that's interesting, because why would you feel some kind of way about that? Because these are your sisters. They already know anyway. But it wasn't that for him. It wasn't that they didn't already know. It was just, we didn't get a chance to talk. We didn't get a chance to. It was sort of like a piece of the agency was taken away. It was like, oh, now I have to talk about it because the song has said it, as opposed to me just being like, oh, so yeah, I am a trans guy, the first one on Drag Race. It's really cool. I'm really happy to be here. Happy to have all these relationships with you guys. So it did make me, I was able to understand, sometimes it's not always in the messaging. It's just how the message gets to be delivered, and how it's always important to allow these people to, talk for themselves. And in a way they still were, because it was lyrics that he had written, but the timing of it was just the problem that he had, and not so much what was going on. So, right. it was interesting for me.
I also really liked the way Olivia handled the conversation. I thought she was super adorable, very supportive, willing to ask questions, but in a very like, I just want to learn. I want to understand you. I want to be able to treat you in a respectful way. And I think that that's also just a good example for so many of us to see and to have out there in the universe of, maybe there's a situation that you may not have a lot of experience with, but it's okay to be, to ask questions as long as you're being respectful and supportive. And the way that Olivia approached it, I thought was really great. So kudos to both of them. Kudos to the show for the way that it was handled. And especially for Gottmik for wanting to talk about all that stuff. Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, I loved what she said when she was talking about how people feel the need to overcompensate and always refer to Gottmik as he, even right. when Gottmik is in drag. He's like, well, now you're just clocking me.
But that's what I love too. Oh, just the way that they brought up the pronouns. Like, Olivia literally said, what pronouns do you use? Like, for example, I use he, him out of drag and she, her in drag. Mm-hmm. What are your pronouns? Like, that is absolutely how you should be asking people their pronouns. It's not just putting them on the spot, but sometimes it's saying like, I like my pronouns are she, her, hers, and making it a comfortable environment for somebody else to share theirs as well. Like, that's yeah. exactly how you do it. So I really, really appreciated that Olivia did that. And I do just want to make a note too that I think that Olivia has shown so much, just both on the show and on Twitter, a lot of wonderful support and ways for not only for Gottmik, but for other non-cis identifying individuals. But Vandervon Odd, who is a Dragula winner from season one, did make a point that was to say that Gottmik is changing the world of drag as erasure of other trans artists. So just when we're talking, one thing that we should be aware mm-hmm. of is specifically Gottmik's legacy on Drag Race rather than the entirety of the drag world. And so I thought that was a really interesting point and something that I wanted to just shine a little bit of light on, because I think that in my mind, I probably had done that in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I think that, you know, Gottmik also is not the monolith of what a trans man doing drag is like, right? Right. There's still mm-hmm. so much within that. And so, yeah, to remember that, like, yes. And for Gottmik also, that responsibility, like, to feel that responsibility must be so intense. But remember, right. you know, there's more out there. We just get to experience it the first time on Drag Race. And I feel like that's a wonderful thing we get to do. We get to experience so many. And it could open our eyes to other performers who totally. Are in that same space.
Totally.
Ew. Key dokie. So let us go ahead. Speaking of Gottmik, I have pulled up all of the looks that Gottmik showed for us today on the show. So we have the daytime drama mama look, the nighttime is the right time look, and of course the LeMay you stay. And I think we could wrap in their performances also when we talk about each of the queens, just because come on, we're here.
Yeah, why not?
All right, Aman, start wherever you want when it comes to Gottmik. What would you like to talk about first?
I mean, the daytime look is like some straight up Miss Frizzle shit, right? Like,
I love it.
I love it too.
Miss Frizzle wore latex. This is what you would get. I love it.
Exactly. I love
it's the
little,
Halloween, like, sexy Miss Frizzle costume, you know? And you're like, exactly. Miss Frizzle, but sexy. Yeah.
Exactly. I love that she's like already like the runway is already like in front of like a giant sun, and then she has like a sun purse with her as well. I think it's just it's a look that you remember. It's like really just pow, like in your face. And then the nighttime look, I mean, I have grown a little bit of an affinity for the boob that is like sort of out with a little thing on the business. Mm-hmm. It always reminds me of the outfit that Lil' Kim had during the mm-hmm. VMAs in 1990, whatever the hell that was. But I love that look. And then, of course, the LeMay. I mean, at first I was like, this kind of swallows you up a little bit, because I think Gottmik is really small. I'm not sure how tall she is, but she seems like she's a really small person. So I wonder, like, in the future, if she's going to start getting critiques about her outfits, about how they're beginning to wear her and she's not wearing them, because I got a little bit of it in the LeMay look, but it still looks fabulous. So I think she did a really good job all three times.
Yeah. I would have gotten rid of the cape portion of the LeMay outfit. And then, because like, there's just still so much going on and it's still such a unique outfit with the headpiece mm-hmm. and everything just flows really well together. It's very well structured that you don't really need the cape, but the cape does have that like swallowing effect. So I definitely agree with that, Aman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, my favorite look is the daytime look. I can't get over it. I love the structured hair. I just, everything about the latex, the cut, the way the rainbow is cut, the skirt is cut, like all of it is just absolutely fabulous to me. And the LeMay look speaks for itself. I hear what you guys are saying about it being too much going on. And I wish I could have gotten a higher quality image, but they haven't put out the images yet. stupid world wonder. Anyway, fine. Because there's so much detailing there. And with the cape, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But this, to me, especially seeing the three photos next to each other, which is another reason why you should check out the video on Rob is a Podcast YouTube page. Seeing the versatility of what she can bring and all of these different looks is just outstanding. Like, we knew that Gottmik had the look, and this is just further evidence to that fact. Like, there's a reason why she was in our top five when we did our original rankings. Like, this is just gorgeous. Love all of them.
She also she showed diversity from the beginning. So, like, she already talks about how normally she would just paint on, like, a white face with a lot of, you know, graphic makeup. I really love that for her first runway in front of the judges, post her entrance look that did have that iconic Gottmik mug on it. She comes out and she has, like, almost like, it, like, comparison, it doesn't look like she's wearing much makeup. Obviously, she's wearing a lot of makeup. But if you look at the other two with the really dark eyes, that, I mean, she does a lot of work with making eye shapes and structures, like, differently. This is really stripped down for her, and she lets the garment take the attention, which I think is absolutely gorgeous. And then she just has such a keen eye to know how to structure the hair, the makeup, and the dress of which one needs the most attention, and which is what I think makes a really smart queen in this competition.
I mean, she knew what she was doing. She was like, I'm already showing them range. I'm like, every year, these queens are getting better and better at anticipating what the judges are potentially going to say about their stuff. So I just think the more and more that queens continue to do that, the fresher the competition will become each season.
When she said that, Amon, I was like, oh my God, yes. I love to hear it. Y'all love to hear
it. We love a student of Drag Race.
Yes, play the game, baby girl. Like, that's just so, so wonderful. Music to my ears. And I have high hopes for her in the competition. The one part that does make me a little bit nervous also made Gottmik nervous. This performance in this episode, the judges clocked it. I clocked it. The hesitation, but she was also performing first. She was performing lyrics that she really poured her heart out, right? And laid it all out. So those things, I think, are understandable. The lip sync also, though, I'm thinking back, maybe wasn't the strongest. And so I do have a little bit of nervousness when it comes to her performance ability, but the look was fabulous. So, you know, what am I going to say about that?
The look was fabulous. I mean, and they talked about it a little bit that Gottmik, I mean, and she's talked about it herself, and that she's not that used to the performance aspect of drag because she's so focused on makeup and everything. So I wonder if we're going to continue to see that storyline. And if we do, I hope that it's a good one. I hope that she gets better. I hope that she is able to open up a little bit more, and that when those acting challenges come around, that she's able to knock out of the park. I really wonder who she's going to be for Snatch Game if she makes it that far.
So. Well, that's something, too, I thought about a lot. You know, Gottmik, you can tell if they have the ability to act in the way that they present their runway looks. And she was able to really, I mean, she's very active on the runway. She's not just like walking. I mean, she's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of me that thinks, like, if she can harness some of that energy and bring it to an acting performance, I think that we don't have to worry that much. But that's not the same thing as an impression. It's not the same thing as improv. So for those challenges, it'll be interesting to see how she turns it out.
Yep. I'm hoping that she also, so if this is where she's starting, she can have a little bit of that most improved bump.
Yeah.
If she's a student of Drag Race, she'll know about Snatch Game. She'll know to be prepared for Snatch Game, which also makes me feel a little bit more at ease when it comes to her prospects in the competition. I mean, I can't imagine her not making, like, top five, top four, but we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah.
The next queen we will talk about here is Miss Candy Muse. Beth, where do you want to start with Candy?
I think all three of these looks are beautiful in their own way. I just don't understand if they met the, well, the last one did, but the first two, I don't know if they met the brief. I don't see this as a day look. I think it's gorgeous. I love the makeup and I love everything about the dress and the wig. I just don't know if I get day look from it.
Like daytime renaissance look. Even that's like more of a nighttime renaissance. Not that I know anything about
No, that's like a, like She even said it herself, like, when she came out, I immediately got thinking to, like, musicals and such where there's, like, a courtesan. Like, that's what I got. I was like, that's nighttime, yeah, girl. That is not it's daytime. Like a
courtesan or, like, a vampire that got caught in the daytime and is now on her way to her execution. Like, it just doesn't look like she's supposed to be out right now.
That is absolutely how Twilight would have tried to show, like, vampires that have been alive for a long time. They were like, this is a queen or a vampire that has been alive since 1400. Like, this is exactly what Twilight would have done to costume,
like,
those
dragons. Yeah, it's like, whose daytime? When was this day?
It's 8 o'clock somewhere.
That's right.
There's that. For me, Amon, it's the tiny little horn shoulders on the nighttime look. They're too size doesn't matter, yeah, but they're too small.
No, they do. Size matters.
Here it matters. They're just like these tiny little, they're so cute. Look at them.
Wasn't horny enough, I guess. Yeah, it's giving me Gaga. It's giving me like 2010, 2011, something that she would have worn this way ball tour. And it's sure, like, I can see this for the nighttime, like if it's Halloween night, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, and also wasn't it supposed to be like whore? Like, where's the, I mean, it's form fitting. It's definitely tight. So there's the sex appeal there. But like, if I'm thinking of whore, I want you to go there, like be a whore, you know, like, yeah. Show me how much you want me, you know, like, or make me want you.
She also had the hole in the back, which was so weird, like that she didn't do anything to cover that up, which was supposed to be for like a tail. But I was
it was supposed to be a panel, I think is what she said. What does that mean? Like a panel with like a tail or like a,
I think it was meant to be something for like a tail or whatever, but then there was supposed to be a panel there to cover the hole is what I got out of that. Maybe that's not the case, but I don't know. Girl, come on. You were going out on the runway, like a runway mini challenge is still a runway. You got to think of these things.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. All of the looks I actually like.
Yeah.
Like I like mm-hmm. all of them, but there's just little details on each one that I'm like, and this is coming from someone who, you know, Bea Arthur is my fashion inspiration. Like, I am not the fashion queen here. But it's just, it's that same sort of attention to detail. I think she'll be able to get away with it for a while based on her personality and the interactions with the judges. Mm-hmm. But that does make me, you know, a little bit nervous for her going deeper into the competition.
Yeah, I wish that for her LeMay look that she actually did have like the little like cannon things in the breast. Because I mean, it was a really wonderful allusion to, I think it was The Spy Who Shagged Me, where Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, having the fembot thing. But I mean, it was really, I love that look. I love that she is a bigger queen that shows a lot of skin that doesn't to her exact words, that it's not about a gimmick. It's not about making a joke, that it's legitimate about sex and appeal and like all these wonderful things. And I think she looks absolutely gorgeous there. But I just like little things. If you're going to make that illusion, go all the way with it, because that is a campy reference to make. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm excited for it to see what else she has. Maybe it was just a rough week because it was three looks in one. You know what I mean? And I mean, when we were talking about Eureka back whenever she was on season 10? And I was like, sometimes like I feel so bad like when I critique the fashion of the bigger queens, because like sometimes I'm like, I'm not a fashion person, so I don't really know what it's like out there when they're trying to construct outfits and find outfits, because we know how the fashion industry is. It's, you know, it's geared towards the rail thin models. That's just how it is.
Right.
And as of late, we have become a little bit more mindful of different body types, and that is beginning to change, but we're still like in the beginning stages of that, in my opinion. And so sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be too hard on you, but at the same time, like, if you're going to tell me that you're going to be a queen that's going to come out here and show me like what the big girls can do, then I want to see it. Because maybe three outfits in one week was just a tall order this time, but next runway, girl, I want to see something good. I want to see
my impression of Candy was that she, I mean, again, I love all three of these looks. I don't know if they meant the brief.
Yeah, they're not bad.
The horns need to be bigger.
But they needed, the horns needed to be bigger. They needed to be like huge. Do like a power shoulder thing. That would have been really cute. Yeah, but anyway, but with her, I feel like what she did, and I think this is kind of smart, which was I have better outfits to come and I'd rather get these out of the way.
Exactly.
That's my general fear.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting. I was like, that's what I'm like, next week I want to see whatever the theme is. Well, I guess not next week because they're going to be
in 2 weeks
banished
when we see you again.
But in week four,
the thing that I even though in the performance, to stop at the performance for a sec, even though, and you know, we got that little shady cut where you can see she's messing up the choreo or like looking around, and I know it's going to come up as a critique later. I loved her rap.
I didn't understand a word of it.
Oh, yeah, me neither. But it was one of my favorites. I don't know why. I felt the flow.
You felt the energy.
I felt the energy. And that's the thing. She has so much energy, whether it be fighting with other queens or rapping on stage. She is this ball of energy. And that makes me really happy to see on stage.
Bob the Drag Queen is so shady. He like posted a little snippet of her talking during the Untucked, and it was hard to understand, and he just said, make it make sense. Like, don't leave this girl alone.
That's when the captions just say like inaudible mumbling. So whatever.
Yeah, I actually have to disagree. I think that she was my least favorite performance altogether. Mm-hmm. I liked the energy, but this was my critique of her during her lip sync, and I saw it a lot here. Part of it, I think, here was that she didn't know what she was doing. But even when she wasn't messing up, she has kind of like dead eyes where you can tell that she's thinking. I lose the energy because I think Candy Muse is going to be great in an improv challenge. Like, I'm going to get like Vanjie vibes from her in an improv challenge, like doing the Church of Britney skit. Like, I have a feeling that's going to be Candy Muse's like strong point here. But I was really worried that if they were going to send someone home, that we were going to lose Candy like immediately. And I was like, ooh, that's going to be scary because Candy needs to stick around. She is fun. She's great television. And I know that she's got more to show.
It's when she gets in her head, especially that she gets, because she had that in the first lip sync as well, where you could tell she was just like standing there like a stick, just nervous about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Candy sticks around to lip sync another day. Also, Amon, was it you who brought up the Josh Martinez comparison? Malagori also brought it up to me. And now that's all I can see.
If I close my eyes, I just hear Josh. It's so insane to me. And like, they are two different types of Latino. I understand it. Josh is Cuban and Kenya Muse is Puerto Rican. I am not trying to consolidate the Latinos, but they sound so much alike. It's crazy.
But it's not even that for me. It's just the way that they approach their interactions with other human beings.
Yeah.
Like, Candy is going to instigate a fight. Josh is going to, like, especially because it was on the heels of Josh instigating a fight on the challenge. So for me, it's like, these are, you at the moment, you cannot convince me that these are two different people. They may be the same person.
Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy to me.
But it is true though. Like, they both have the same thing as it comes to drama. Like, not only do they instigate the fight, they end up being the victim as well. Like, that's exactly like Candy. My favorite thing about this episode is Candy going at the one end of the room where Elliot's on the other and going, Elliot's a spy, Elliot shouldn't be here, blah, 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 going off about Elliot. And then Elliot says one thing about her house and her drag family, and she's like, I was over there minding my own business. Like, bitch, you were not minding your own business. It's a very Josh Martinez thing.
Shady
to do.
Shit like that. I'm like, what?
The queen of shady shit.
It's so Josh. Oh my god. Now I get the Elliot the spy. Now we know why they thought she was a spy. Elliot the spy. Duh.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. Time to talk about La La Ri. So I didn't get the best screenshot of the last look, but we get the sense, we get the chocolate wrapped in gold, which I thought was really lovely.
Yeah.
I don't have like that much bad to say about any of these looks. I feel like they are, I could see her vision for each of them. I could see where she was coming from. The things that I would say would be nitpicking, but I wasn't blown away. Now, this is the first week, right? So I'm, you know, that's fine. We'll put that in the back burner for now. You know, she survives again another week like all the queens do, and we'll see what happens here. Mm-hmm. But Aman, was there anything that stood out or stood back, I guess? What's the opposite of stood out?
Yeah, I was getting a little bit of the same energy. I mean, like how Beth just described, I was about to say Josh's looks.
Josh Martinez's looks. Candy's
Josh,
looks.
Josh Muse. Candy Martinez.
Yeah.
I felt like these were sort of like, let's get these out of the way. But mm-hmm. I'm because like we said, like we all put La La Ri pretty low on all of our lists. And this is sort of giving me the reason why. I mean, and she's talked about in her interviews before that she's new, like she's only been doing it for a little bit of time. She might not be as polished as the other girls, but she has the performance and she's got the chutzpah. But yeah, these looks were not that polished for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked wonderful on the runway. I totally agree with the Willy Wonka golden ticket comparison. I was like, that is literally like she's giving me chocolate wrapped in golden ticket. I see it. But then when we get to Untucked, and then when the camera's all up in the face and those stage lights aren't on, that makeup didn't look that good. I don't know if it was just the lighting. I don't know if I'm being too harsh, but it was like, look, Lord knows I don't know how to paint my face. I would look like a damn clown. But I was like, I don't know. Like the unpolished factor that she's, you know, mentioning in these interviews, it seemed kind of apparent. And now I'm getting just a little worried because no one was going to go home this week. So, you know, they were being so kind to pretty much all of them. So I'm just wondering, like, is this going to hold up when, you know, the competition finally starts?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Now, there's one thing that I've learned, which is that how you paint for Drag Race and on television is very different than how mm-hmm. you would paint in a club and all those different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Similar to when the critique for Tina. And mm-hmm. How she moves and talks with people, interacts on the stage. It's very different. I also think there is an added challenge for highly melanated people on a show. There's mm-hmm. there's already a lack of variety of makeup out there. Obviously we're getting better. But there's still such a disadvantage of finding the right tones, the things that would work well on your face. Now apply that to, you have to do a theater look, but there's going to be lights and stage stuff, and then you're going to go back to Untuck. So I think that it's just harder. We've seen this over the years, specifically from the Black queens and even some of the Latinx queens. Like, this has been a trend, but I was actually going to mention, like, I think her paint and her LeMay stage is probably one of the most gorgeous faces. I think it's absolutely stunning. But I agreed with you. All of a sudden, I saw it in Untucked, and I was like, "Oh, it's very different." So it's an interesting thing to think about while we're, you know, critiquing and seeing these things. Is what are the stages on the runway doing that? You know, maybe the mm-hmm. overhead lights, even though it's not overhead lights, but I like to think it is, and the Untucked lounge are doing. I tend to agree, though, overall. I felt like all of these were meh. I didn't feel like any of them were bad. I loved the three
pedestrian.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, I feel like I would see these looks on a drag queen anywhere. I loved the last look on her, but the only thing I'm getting a lot this season is a lot of the covering of necks, which really shortens yes. somebody's body. And she does it a lot. Tamisha Amon, her drag mother, does it a lot. And so I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy.
Oh, my God. It bothers me so much because especially the performance look, too. It felt like she was looking through a little circle because her neck was cut off and her hair, the way it was overlaid, which, again, both are fine independently. But when they were mixed together and then when you're yeah. always going to cover yes. your neck every single time, it just it cuts you off.
Because even if you wear a necklace and it's like here, look at how weird my neck is. Like I don't have a neck. It's in the middle of my neck now. And I'm just like, I'm just a head talking. Here we go. Like, it's really weird. Sorry. That's for the video people.
Yeah, it's for the video people. It's for the YouTubers.
It's got its place, though. The nighttime yeah. look. Perfect. Yeah. Love it. The performance look. Not my fave. Also, I just had this thought. If Tamisha and Lala do not end up in the workroom at the same time, I'm going to freaking riot.
What was it all for?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. They have to bring them together because why do this if not for that? We've never seen that before.
Fine.
I wonder if this literally was a way just to give Queens the opportunity for us to get to know them over a couple of episodes rather than just one episode where it's like 5-6 queens or whatever. But I just don't think it's like working out the way that they thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it might be one of those situations where once we see the whole thing wrap up, we're like, oh, that was their plan. Maybe it'll make a little bit more sense at the moment because we're sort of in the middle of it. It can be hard to know. But yes,
if we don't know, though, come on. Like, if it gets to the end of the season and we're still confused as to it, like, I think we need to take any kind of planning away from RuPaul because clearly there's some senility going on there.
We'll see. For the performance, we did talk about Lala's look, but I just feel like she's someone who she just has so much energy, and I just want to be her best friend. And, you know, even though I can't remember a single thing from her verse except for that she's from Atlanta, that's okay. She was fun. I do worry about her longevity in the competition, but I'm enjoying her on my television screen right now, so I'm going to appreciate that for what it is.
I did love the little exchange with her and RuPaul about the clubs in Atlanta, because for those that don't know, that's where RuPaul got his start in drag, was in Atlanta, and was also doing a lot of punk bands, which is really just such an interesting beginning. So having punk in Atlanta while being a, you know, drag queen, it's a very interesting beginning. So just to have that kind of connection, I thought was a really cool moment on the stage.
Yeah, totally.
Right after the Civil War.
Right after the Civil War.
Come through, Union. Okay. Let's talk about Olivia Lux. Amon, what did you think about Olivia's looks and performance this week?
I love the nighttime look. That that color up against her skin just looks so good. It's so like it's got so much structure and story to it. The hair that's slicked back, it was just really doing it for me. The daytime look is fine. It's cute. It's funny. It's cool. It's fresh. Nothing that I like gagging over. But when she walked out in the nighttime, I was like, okay, here we go. This is it. This is what I want to see. I was not as like high on the runway look as I think the judges and the rest of the girls were, and I think a lot of the fans were as well. Everybody loved it, and it's cute. It's beautiful. I don't know. I didn't respond as highly to it. I think that the shoulder thing is sort of distracting for me. She kind of looks like Ariel a little bit. It's kind of like a mermaid look going on. But she looks absolutely beautiful. All the looks are great. I just wasn't as high on her. I think when it comes to Olivia, a lot of people love her personality. And that's what I love about her too. I love that she is a Disney gay. I love that she is on the whimsical side of things. I love that. I love that people are falling in love with her. I love that. But the only look that I was like loving was the nighttime look. And I think that her performance look was fine as well.
Mm-hmm. Beth, she has the tiny purse moments.
Yes, queen of the tiny purse. I guess it's the same purse, just a different color. Like every single time I've seen like a couple photos of it, it's just really funny. I really liked her day look. I don't think it's on the same level as like a Gottmik kind of day look, but I liked it better than Candy's. I liked it better than Lala Ree's. Like, she was somewhere that was like in the high middle for me out of this group. It's kind of whimsical looking. It's fashion, but humorous at the same time. That's what I kind of liked about it. For her club look, I do really like it. There's a weird moment where her breast, shoulder, chest meet, where the beginning of the swoop happens, that looks a little off, like wrinkled and such for me. And it's not just this picture. That was what I clocked immediately. But I do love it. I love that color on her. I love that material. I love her hair. And she's giving me a little bit of she looks a little bit like Mariah Balenciaga in this picture, mixed with what's her name from Canada's Drag Race? She went home pretty early. She goes by Kiki. She was a Montreal queen. But she's giving me kind of a mixture of the two of them a little bit together.
Yeah, really. Kiara.
Kiara. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yes. So she's giving me that softness in the face, which I really think is just so suitable for her. And then I really liked this look. I think that the final runway look, I think that this is just absolutely gorgeous. It's a reference specifically to something that was popular with white women that you didn't see on many black women. And I think that she like shows up a lot of white women here and just like, bitch, we can make work too. It looks really good. But I really just love her reference points. I really love the various different wigs that she's showing. She's showing a lot of variety with what she can do with styling with hair and such. She's showing a variety of how she can accessorize. Some queens just accessorize the same way. So I really like that. But I agree with you, Aman. I think the best part about her is her genuine bright sunshine kind of personality. It really just shines through in everything she does. And when the judges made the comment that she kind of looked like Beyonce during the challenge, I got that. She wasn't quite as high energy as Beyonce is. If she had just turned that up a little bit more, like,
who the hell is?
That's, I mean, good point, good point.
Who is?
But she absolutely just has looked absolutely stunning from the beginning to end in this episode to me.
Yeah, I love the little purse continuity. That's really cool.
But then also the willingness to drop it for the runway, the main runway, right? Like, I thought, yeah, the going from daytime to nighttime with the, oh, she brought her big handbag this time. I would love to wear the nighttime look. Oh, my God. So it's so, so pretty. And the swoop, I just, everything about it, I am in love with. I did like her lame look. I thought it was also, a very specific period reference, which is nice to see that kind of diversity across the board when it comes to her looks. She has only been, hasn't been doing drag for all that long, but she has figured out a way to paint her face that just makes her look flawless. I think gorgeous. That's her one style that she knows how to paint, with those high brows, which elongate her face, really open up that space, which, her face is a little naturally just a little bit shorter. And so she can bring that up and make that look just swoop up and look fabulous. For the makeover challenge, we'll see. I would love to see that look on someone else. What if it doesn't look as good? Could be interesting. But there is the thing about her performance is eye-catching. And it's not just the fringe. It wasn't just the big wig. It was the way she moved her arms, the way she carried herself, the way she moved her mouth. There was just something very captivating about Olivia that I think I noticed in the videos when we were doing the Meet the Queens that came across on stage, which is really great to see the translation between the two mediums and that she can stand out in both. So I was really happy when she was announced as one of our two winners this week, because I thought she popped for me.
She definitely gives good mouth, and I don't mean that in a weird way, but I think what won her the lip sync against Rosé as well was her ability to really kind of act with her face and specifically with her mouth.
Yeah, I agree. Our other winner this week, and ultimately the winner when we have our lip sync for the crown or lip sync for the win or whatever it's called, Simone. So we get three different looks from Simone, Beth, and I especially love the interpretation of the last one, the boxer LeMay look.
Yeah, I love the versatility we're seeing from Simone. I mean, none of these three looks look like they're coming from the same queen's head. You know what I mean? Like, this is very different styles. And I really, really liked all of them. I'm not as high on the second one, the night one. I don't get night out of it. I think it's a really cool look. It's structured differently than what I would normally think for something like that. But what sells it for me is the wig. Like, come on. Like, just the way the braids are with the little balls at the end is just so cute to me. I don't know. It's also, like, fashionable in a weird, quirky way. Like, I don't know. But she has all these really interesting ways where she takes something that is a fashion moment, kind of camps it up, but still makes it fashion and just does something unexpected with it. You look at all three of these wigs and it's, that's just a prime example. Then look at the outfits, and she does it with every single outfit as well. But I have, like, nothing negative to say about her. I mean, her personality, you could tell the judges were like, you've got star quality. Girl, that's, I don't see how Simone doesn't win this competition. Like, if Simone goes home at any point, I bet it will be as big, if not bigger, than, like, when Katya went home or Ben de la Creme went home or any of those people that just, like, got fifth place and wanted to go further in the competition. Like, she's just such a star. She's just really doing it for me.
She's getting the winner's edit, right? Like, I feel like if I were a first time viewer of this show, like, I would be like, oh, she's going to win. Like, knowing nothing about Drag Race, I would just automatically assume that because of, I mean, RuPaul, like, telling you on the runway that you've got star quality was like a whole moment between the two of them. I'm like, okay, well then just give her the damn crown already. Like, throw her the money. Like, why are these other girls even here? So, like,
it would be on par for this season for them to crown the winner in the second episode and then have the rest of the season. But, you know, we'll just see.
And they already cut six queens, right?
Right? So. Like, you might as well. I mean, expedite the process here. I agree with you about the nighttime look. I love it from the waist up. But, like, it doesn't really, it kind of loses its form at the bottom. Maybe that was, like, the whole point of it was sort of, like, you know, anti-structure, I guess. But it just didn't do it for me. I think that she looks beautiful from the waist up, though. I love the daytime look. And, of course, I love it when a queen kind of thinks outside of the box on the main runway challenge. And, obviously, I mean, who would have thought to go for a boxing thing? And then those pigtails, blonde hair, like, all the hair is different. She goes from black to brunette to blonde. Like, she really just, she went all out.
A few things about Simone that I clocked, especially in terms of her star quality. When Ross says, I drew a star. When, find someone who looks at you like Rue looks at Simone. And it's the second episode. We haven't even seen half of the queens really yet. So, yeah, it does feel a little bit like it's in the bag. Also, the lip sync. Could the camera have spent any more time on Simone? Was Olivia even there? Honestly, it was like seconds of I didn't clip it together because it was all Simone. And I get it. There's a reason why I ranked her number one. She just stands out. She carries herself like a winner. She's put together all of these looks. We talked about her look from the Meet the Queens. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I hope it's not a march to the end with Simone being crowned where it's very clear. I hope we at least get maybe that Alaska moment of I'll PayPal you $10,000. Maybe not that dramatic, but so something that shows a little bit of vulnerability with her. Because the show, the way that it's edited, right? Not her fault, none of the queen's fault. The way that the show is edited feels so heavy-handed when it comes to Simone. I know she's a winner. We know she's a winner. You know, you don't have to spoon-feed that to us. That being said, these looks are fabulous.
I mean, you never know. She could just write her name on a lipstick and Ben de la Creme it, you know?
Or Valentina it, right? You never know. You never know. So, yeah, I mean, true. I hope that doesn't happen. But we shall see. The nighttime look also was not my favorite. I actually didn't like it at all, except for the wig. It felt a little bit, I don't know. I didn't connect with it. I feel like maybe drop the purse or something, but
it was strange.
Something about it. Yeah. It just doesn't work for me. I
don't
get
a nighttime thing out of it. If you're trying to do something that shows, like, I don't know if you're hooking or whatever. I mean, that's not the look I would go for, But it's an interesting interpretation of it. She didn't quite sell that for me, which is saying something, because I feel like she could sell snow to, you know, upstate New Yorker.
An Inuit.
That's right. That's right.
The daytime look, though, and the LeMay look. Wow. Outstanding. Also, the way that she carries herself in the performance. It's a little there were moments that were repetitive of her lip sync, which also worries me a little bit for the performance. Like, I want to see something else. I want to see something new. Yeah.
So what I was getting was like, oh, Simone isn't like a dancer. Like, that's not like her main shtick. Like, she's more of like she'll give you face. She'll give you a little bit of comedy. She'll give you sass, but she's not really giving you choreography, which I felt was really interesting, because now she's won two lip syncs because of that. Right. Mm-hmm. Where someone that was right next to her, one of them was giving you Janet Jackson choreo. This time around, Olivia wasn't really giving choreo. She was kind of giving the same thing that Simone was giving, but I guess Simone kind of edged her out this time because it was just a little bit more, I guess, clean of a performance, if I had to guess what the reasoning was behind that. So I am interested in what lip syncing is going to look like going forward for her. But we might not ever get to find out, because it's looking like she's never going to be in the bottom ever again. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly. It might not happen until the finale, which I don't know. I have no idea what that's going to look like. You know, now, obviously, in comparison to season 12, they have more time to prepare for it. But, you know, who knows, especially if they want to do something live again, right? Then, what do? Do they bring all the queens back? Do they do who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? We will cross that bridge when we get to it. But let's hope that the bridge does not burn down. That's right. Tina Burner, you're welcome. Fabulous transition, as always, from me. I'm amazing. And you know who else is amazing? Tina Burner. I love her attitude. And just her approach to the competition. I think she's also someone who is going to learn from the critique. She feels like someone who will take that in. I liked the fact that she didn't do red, orange, yellow for all three looks, because I was very terrified that is what was going to happen. Yep. I don't necessarily see that same pop that some of the other queens have, but Tina seems like a true workhorse, and I think that she's going to put in the time, going to put in the energy. We haven't even seen her in the acting challenges or improv challenges, and that seems like some place that she will excel in this competition.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that she's somebody who, coming into this competition, is known for being funny, quick-witted, those kind of things. I still maintain that she's not quite at the, you know, like Bob the Drag Queen kind of level with that. But she's in those New York circles where she's worked. I mean, she's a legend in New York. And I think that this episode shows that she has an ability to give you something and then change it dramatically. She has an ability to kind of surprise you, which is what good comedians do too, right? They take that element of surprise and they throw a punchline in that you're not expecting. And so I thought this was a really smart set of three different looks. I am going to get sick if she does continue to try to do a lot of red, orange, yellow kind of looks. I understand that's her brand. Oh, come on, girl.
I didn't even know that until they had like pointed it out, and I was like, oh shit, she definitely is like wearing fire every damn time. Like, it's like, we get it, you're burning, bitch, like you're on fire. Like, move on.
But I do have to say, I like how she applied that to specifically the night look. Like, that is not a look I expected Tina Burner to wear. Like, I expected Tina Burner to wear like something like the day look, which was cute. It was fine. It didn't do anything crazy for me. The night look was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But I love this Tin Man illusion. I specifically love that it's a handbag that comes off as like the blade of an axe. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good to me. And I love that she waited till the very end to reveal the heart underneath. Like, that was so smart. I just loved that. So she's a smart queen. I can't wait to see what else she has.
So we were talking about Simone and, you know, how we don't want this to be a march to the end. And as soon as you said that, Leon, I was like, I really hope that someone like Tina does just sort of give her a run for her money, because I mean, it's that age old question about, you know, all these queens that have such a following in New York and they're big stars in LA or whatever. And then you come to Drag Race, it's in it's an entirely different race. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm hoping that she's one of those queens that has put the work in outside of the house for a while and is known for that and can also put the work inside of the race and we root for her because of it. You know what I mean? Because we thought we were going to get that with Nina West, right? She was also one of those queens that was really well known, had this big resume coming in, has had celebrities that have like copied some of her drag. And then she comes into the competition and then right off the bat, like it's not, the energy just isn't transferring the same way. And then she goes home on like a really weird ass lip sync with no scrubs against Silky, who was falling all over the stage. Oh my God, I'm just reliving it as I'm describing it. It's horrible.
Make it stop. Make it stop.
I blocked that with that many years of therapy. And by many
I'm
years,
that
I mean
we don't get
a
no scrubs moment from Tina. I hope that she is not a scrub. I hope that she is gonna come into this and like show these girls like, yes, I've been in the game for a long time and yes, I can still win Drag Race. I can beat all of you bitches. It's kind of the same thing that I want for Tamisha Iman. Like show these younger girls that y'all, you're standing on our shoulders, bitch. Like yes. Y'all just got here. I've been in these streets. Like give the, like, I want to see that. I want to see an older queen take this.
Mm-hmm. I think the fact that Tina can bring this type of versatility, I mean, she goes from, I don't even know what I would call the daytime look, like 60s inspired.
Yeah, I was thinking 60s too, yeah.
60s like, tea party inspired.
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe prom.
I guess she called it the Carrie Bradshaw look.
Oh yeah, yeah, true, yeah.
To the latex, to the Tin Man illusion. Oh my gosh, that makes me happy. That makes mm-hmm. my heart happy. I love to see it. And I'm curious to see what she's able to bring. I think, like I said, in the terms of the performance, you could tell, you know, she's looking all around. Gotta kind of stay a little bit more focused. The camera is your friend. And Michelle gives that critique. And I think it's something she'll take to heart. She'll be able to incorporate. She's a seasoned pro. And I think this is going to be uphill for Tina.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm interested to see, too, if there are any of the eliminated queens that we haven't really got to see yet who are going to be able to, you know, give some more of that competition to Simone, to a Tina, to somebody like that. Right off the top of my head, I think of Rosé, and Rosé is going to have this mm-hmm. interesting versus Tina, I think, storyline. And mm-hmm. so I'm just interested to see what happens with the other girls.
I think Rosé, like if I'm thinking of queens, yeah, that might challenge Simone. I think Rosé, I think Gottmik, maybe outside chance of Olivia. I do think that there are people who will be nipping at the heels of Simone that might be able to take a bite.
Yeah.
We will have to see. The final queen that we'll be talking about today is Elliot with two T's, who also had a variety of looks on the runway. Amon, what did you think of Elliot's looks?
Yeah, she loves like a little bit of like a period piece, right? Like where I'm not really sure what era the first look is, nor am I sure what era the second look is. I just know that there's two different eras. And that, I love the nighttime look. I think it's so spooky. It's giving you like Elvira type feel, like mistress of the night, like, you know, like vampire gothic type. And then that red ass hair that just lays on the shoulder, just, you know, striking. I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. And then, I mean, the runway look is fine. I mean, if you're going for LeMay, there's certainly some LeMay there. But yeah, I mean, I want to see more. I want more.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This could be completely inappropriate, but the red and the blonde, Katya, like white queen, blonde red. Like that's
what
so
I got
bad.
Out of Joey J last week was a Katya look with chicken feathers, like 100%.
Yeah, once I got past that and I was like, okay, she's Katya, but she's French. She's not Russian. No. I think each look has its place. I think the daytime, nighttime looks are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
The belt on the daytime look, maybe I would have changed a little bit. I think to have that just that continuous flow of the red, I think would have been really pretty. The mm-hmm. nighttime look is hands down my favorite, especially mm-hmm. the pop with the wig color, I think was gorgeous. And the runway look was LeMay. So
yeah,
It fulfills giving me, like, the requirements of the challenge.
Olympic outfit.
Yeah, it's a little bit, yeah, like 80s Olympic figure skater.
It's too bad. Well, I mean, she is doing the 80s expose kind of like look there, but she is applying it to a figure skater look. And it's just too bad for her that we had a really good figure skater look last week.
Yeah.
And she saw that queen too. So I'm just interested, like, you know, that, I mean, you can't really change a LeMay look. It's not like they have a whole bunch of LeMay around for you to be able to, like,
right,
to make a whole new outfit, nor do I think they had the time to really do that. I agree with you, Liana, with the red dress. I would have gotten rid of that because you already have, like, the black stole. So you might as well just, like, wear the stole, do a reveal, do something like that with it. I think her nighttime look was my favorite out of all the nighttime looks. And then for this last one, it was okay. It was fine. If she had to lip sync, it would have been a good outfit to lip sync in. But I really think that she did a really good job specifically with the nighttime look and coming right back into that workroom. I mean, she owned those other queens. And I think that that really helped, at least from an editing standpoint. I don't know if it was the case. It seemed like the queen started to respect her a little bit more after that. So I was happy about that.
Right. Like, I may have lost my lip sync, but look at this look. I can
but
put this
bitch,
together.
I got to wear it. So look. Yes.
And she's a trained dancer. You can tell with the way that she carried herself in the performance. The choreo was obviously not that complicated. They're not going to come up with something insane, especially when they have to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. But she executed it very cleanly. She didn't necessarily have that sort of pop. But I thought she was a strong performer. Her verse, I really liked. And I'm happy that we were able to get an opportunity to get to know Elliot with two T's a little bit more.
What do you guys think about her, like, not telling the queens that she's a choreographer / dancer until, like, more than halfway through the rehearsal?
It felt a little Big Brother Survivory. Like, yeah. I don't want to tell them my profession. It'll put a target on my back.
Yeah. If this goes wrong, then the rest of the queens are going to be like, oh, well, she was a dancer and she didn't come up to the plate, you know?
And they can blame it on, but they can blame it on her regardless. Like, oh, it didn't go well. Oh, you were the one who led us in choreo.
Everything was fine until this bitch showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tried to make us do, you know, a 1-2 step.
I think it was more of a, rather than being worried about the other queens, I think that she put that blame on them. But I really think it was her own insecurity of being like, I've already been kind of voted out of this competition. I've been eliminated twice. I'm with the girls that won who don't really see me as one of them. Mm-hmm. And if I mess this up, is this a self-fulfilling prophecy for me? So that's the kind of feeling I got out of it, even though her confessional and everything said otherwise. I was really looking at the undertones of what she was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting myself in her stilettos, I could imagine what that feels like. You already have these queens coming down on you because you already have these other queens coming down on you, right? It's just a lot of negative attention on you that you don't necessarily want. I can see not wanting to volunteer yourself to be put in that, potentially that position again. So I got it. I get it.
We had also said she was going to be the villain of the season. I don't know if I see that. No.
I thought so. And I was like, when she came into the room and then she was started to antagonize Candy and the rest of the girls, I was like, oh, I predicted this. But no, it was a very sympathetic edit towards her. She was like, I just want to fit in with you guys. I don't, you know, I'm not here to, you know, cut up your dresses. I'm just trying to survive. I already got eliminated. Don't send me home again, please. Like, so.
Please, please. Well, we, like I mentioned earlier, we get Olivia and Simone as our two winners. And Rob Sestrinino's dream, the episode would not be complete without a lip sync for the crown or for the win or whatever, the cash tip. Blah,
legacy,
blah, blah.
Whatever the hell it is.
He didn't even say legacy. He was like, lip sync for the win. And I was like, that lip sync sounds win. So stupid.
As more and more time goes by and more seasons get aired, he's just going to be like, just lip sync, bitch.
Get to it. It's going to be like the last message of the last three queens that had to lip sync last week, where it's just like, center stage now. Like, it's just going to be like, lip sync now.
Look, you get tired doing so many seasons. Well, we do have that lip sync. We talked a little bit about it earlier when we were discussing Simone and Olivia. I felt like Well, first of all, Dua Lipa, Break My Heart was a fabulous song choice, I thought, to go with. It builds. I think it allows for a lot of range of emotion. There's a lot of different ways that you could take it. The camera focused on Simone the entire time, as far as I was concerned. We got a little bit of Olivia in there, but it was telegraphed who was going to win that lip sync. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, Olivia was telling a story. I felt like she mm-hmm. really... I could see the arc of her story, but you had yes. to wait until the entirety of the lip sync to get the arc, which was a little weird versus Simone. Well, it's not weird. It's not, that's what lip syncs are normally like in a club or something. It was just weird for Drag Race. And it made it harder when you couldn't see the entirety of the arc because Simone was just killing it.
Yeah. We mm-hmm. missed several chapters of that story.
Yeah. It was just ripped out of the book.
Yeah. I was really happy with the song choice as well. I was kind of, after the first episode, I was nervous. I was like, okay, they didn't waste it, all these iconic ass tracks that I've been waiting to come on this show for the longest time. And then they swoop back in with some 2020 Dua Lipa. And so that, I mean, that this was filmed in the summer. Dua Lipa's album came out in April. So if they're able to get like quick turnaround on so much of the pop that came out in 2020, then I'm all in, because we've had a magnificent year in pop music in 2020. So if we get a mm-hmm. bunch of that on Drag Race this season, I'm in there like swimwear.
It's gonna be so good, excited. I think.
We'll see where that goes. I also, fingers crossed, and was surprised by the song choice because of the recency, but you know, mm-hmm. One thing we forgot to mention was the judges. So we get Jamal Sims, who comes in for Carson. So we have Michelle, of course, Ross, and then Jamal. So, and then next week, based on the preview, it seems like we get Nicole Byer. So they must have a way. Maybe it's that last seat. They're like, look, you're on the panel on the outside, so we can swap people in and out, which makes me happy because I was worried that we weren't going to be able to get any guest judges throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, I agree.
It was the first time we didn't get one for the premiere, right? Because we had all these big profiles and then nobody, which if I were a celebrity guest, I probably would have been fine with. Like, I'd be like, I don't want to come for this season. Like, I want to come and experience the whole thing. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think last week not having a guest judge made a lot of sense in hindsight. Yeah.
Just wasn't enough time.
There wasn't enough time, and it was all lip sync, and it was, you know, here, get to know the queens a little bit. That makes sense for judges that are going to be there throughout the entirety of the season. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do want to make a note of is maybe I'm one of the few people. I am loving this Cruella DeVille / Maxwell Sheffield gray streak hair of Michelle Visage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily like that weird kind of like 60s.
The look she had 60s thing.
I wasn't a fan of that, but I love having the like gray streak in her hair. I think it's like, I just love that. It's iconic.
Everybody was comparing her dress to that of Professor Umbridge in Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix, and I was dying. I could not see it after that. I just
God. Oh no, that's so funny.
Somebody had like a meme of like Umbridge like pointing her wand menacingly, and it's like Michelle Visage. You wore that last week. Enough with the leotard.
I said a wig of a different color. You know,
no more orange, red, and yellow for you, Tina. Well, Simone is our winner this week, and it seems like next week we're going to get the other queens performing similarly. I assume they're going to do a remix of a song. We'll get them doing their own choreo, which will be nice to really get to know those queens a little bit better. From the Untucked, is there anything that you guys want to talk about? I think we got more from Gottmik, which, again, you know, we can agree with what we were saying earlier. I thought it was handled well. She talked about, you know, how transitioning is a process, and she can sort of tell that story here. Anything else from Untucked? I feel like it was kind of inconsequential.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward. I enjoyed the Gottmik content. I enjoyed the little moment mm-hmm. that Gottmik and Candy shared, because they assumed that both of them were going to be in the bottom and possibly going home. I enjoyed Candy opening up just a little bit, because she talked about, like, I don't know. I feel like she's being very hard on herself, because there's like a lot of jokes back and forth about how Candy is, you know, very confrontational and she's a bitch and she's mean and she likes to start drama. But from what I've seen, she isn't any more drama filled than any other queen that's been on this show. And so it was nice that she was, you know, she sort of broke down a little bit and she was like, I don't want to go home. Like, I was, you know, I made a lot of jokes. I talked a lot of trash coming here about like how my sister's was the first one to go home. And then it's the former House of Aj and all that shit. But like, genuinely, I don't want to go. Like, I want to stay in here for as long as possible. And so it was nice to see that she, you know, is taking it seriously, and it's not just like a meme. You know, she's fully aware of the pressure that she's under, and she wants to make sure that she can come home and people are proud of her. So I was glad to see that, and I think that she should just like give yourself a break. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, don't get in your head again, because if you continue this behavior, then bitch, you're going to go home. So don't do it.
Well, there was also just the idea, there was like a recognition of how scary and awful it would be to have to go home so early. And I hopefully that will translate, if the two groups of queens come together, that will translate to a little bit more empathy or sympathy from the winning queens to the losing queens, because how they treated Elliot for like the first 10, 15 minutes of the episode, I was not here for it. I was like, what the hell? You guys literally were just like, you could have gone home. And in my opinion, some of you should have been on the losing side. So I don't know.
When Elliot was like, you guys just opened me with such open arms, I was like, did they know?
Bitch, you haven't seen the confessionals yet. Like, get to that.
Oh my gosh. I think that the to go back to the point about Candy, the vulnerability too is what is nice to see. When you have a queen, especially that puts up that kind of face, it's nice to have that pulled back. I didn't expect to see it so early, but the thought of, oh my gosh, I could actually be in the bottom on what they believe, I think, is the first element. Well, I don't know, first like real elimination. I don't know. Was really nice to see. The other thing I liked in Untucked was the PA coming in with the face mask and the shield. I was like, yes, yeah, come through safety. Let's remind PA ourselves.
Yes.
Safety. Okay. We are at the end of this episode. Next week, we will be back with, like I said, the other queens performing something similar to what we see here, and hopefully get to know them a little bit better. Aman, what are you up to, and where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter and on Instagram. I am still doing the Choir Room with Matt Ligori. We are into character studies now. We just released Tina and Artie. We're going to be getting into a bunch of other background characters for Glee. So check that out wherever you get your podcast. And yeah, I'll see you guys around.
And Beth, what about you?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at AugustaWind11. You can also find me on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/AugustaWind11, where I'm not only playing some games. Yesterday I played some Animal Crossing, but I also do my weekly meltdown on there, where we're covering, we're doing the last week of Heroes versus Villains. We're doing the finale for Survivor this week, and we're also covering the challenge right after the challenge episode. So tune in if you would like to get any of that coverage from an additional source as well.
Perfect. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I tweeted about this yesterday, but I was walking home. I have to tell the story because I didn't have a chance to tell it anywhere else. I was walking home from work, and it's cold. Okay. It's the Northeast. I'm cold. I've got my hood up. I've got my mask on. I've got my glass. Like, I'm bundled up walking home. And all of a sudden I feel this like light, like thud on my head. And I was like, what is that? So I'm in my hood. So I'm like looking around. I look down and I see a Danish on the ground next to me. And I was like, where did this come from? I look up and I see this squirrel looking down at me with this look that was like, ooh, that's mine. Can I have that back? I'm like 95% sure a squirrel dropped a Danish on my head. Like, I don't have the video evidence to prove this, but I'm pretty sure that happened.
You're like, but so, there is a little bit of jelly.
Like, there's some crumbs on my head right now, and there's a Danish on the ground, and there's a squirrel above me in a tree. So
you do the math.
Just saying what I'm saying. Yeah,
squirrels really do be wildin'. There, you know, like...
Right. My squirrel friends, you know, dropping Danishes, trying to feed me, I guess. So if girlfriend, you'd like to weigh in on whether or not you think that's good luck, check out my Twitter at LianaRHAP. If you like the content that we're putting out, consider becoming a patron of RHAP. It supports all of the wonderful work that we do from the main feed with Rob all the way to us doing our little thing over here in the Drag Race world. So check out patreon.com. Rob has a podcast. Also, leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. We love to hear the feedback, and it's helpful for getting our podcast out there, especially when we have a new season coming up. I'd love to thank Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for all of the wonderful work and the editing, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.